Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, broadcasting live from WQME with my friends Matt and Jerry. Joining us on the program today, Mylon Yurkovic and Dr. Jill Hubbard. We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Come join us for New Life.
Before I ask my question, I first want to say how much I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
You know something? I failed as a husband.
I had a question, if I could, please.
Okay. The rest of it, I just felt like I was kind of getting shined on. So now I get it.
I want to know about your dad, what he was like.
He was an angry person.
That's a big part of your age.
I think, John. Having you be a little bit more involved says, I'm a woman, and you're doing this to women. This is going to affect your relationship with women. And so for him to feel what that's like in the presence of a woman, I think is important.
Yeah. That was good, Jill.
People with addictive personalities are like boa constrictors.
Well, I just say, did you play with dynamite when you were a child?
No.
Because this is playing with dynamite. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me today, Mylon Yurkovic. Hello, Mylon.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, and hope you're doing all right. And then also Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, Steve.
Hello there. Welcome, and
so
glad that you guys are here. It is the middle of the summer here in Indianapolis. I believe it's about 100 degrees, and it's about 200% humidity.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, this is the day to get in the swimming pool. And I know you guys are in California, and it's beautiful there and lovely, and I'm sure it's fabulous.
Yes, but we have a little humidity, don't we, Mylon?
Yeah. We do. We've had some humidity. And then right now it's foggy outside, but
yeah.
It's starting to clear. So we get those cool mornings and cool evenings.
Well, you know, I'm coming in there on Thursday.
Yes.
For a very fun event. Madeline had signed up to audition for Wheel of Fortune, and it just so happened the week she signed up for was Family Week. So they asked if I could fly in and audition with her two Fridays ago. So I did. We solved more puzzles than anybody else, and we're going to tape Wheel of Fortune this Friday.
Wow.
Oh, are you serious?
So
Dad-daughter team.
So a taping that will actually be on the show?
Well, it will air. Yeah, they'll tape the show, and it'll air in either September or the first
Oh, you
got to
let us know.
December.
That'd be so
That's
fun.
Fabulous.
Yeah, but anyway, Madeline has always wanted to do Wheel of Fortune. She
mm-hmm.
loves the show. I love the
yeah.
show, too. And my next book is entitled Fun with Pat and Vanna.
Yeah.
So this is really going to work out. But I'm really excited. And we have to be there from 6:30 in the morning to 6:30 at night. And it's just going to be a fun time. So we're practicing. We're practicing right
oh,
now.
Oh, good.
Anyway, we're glad that you are with us today. If you're in Southern California on Friday, you come join us in the audience there at Wheel of Fortune. But we're $43,000 away from our $100,000 match that we have. We need $43,000 more. We've already brought in a little over $56,000 before we can have access to our $100,000 matching gift. And so if you've heard about this, you know that a couple gave us $100,000 if other people will come alongside them and make that $100,000, $200,000. So we really do need your help desperately. If there's any way that you could possibly help us, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. We're $43,000 away, and that, you know, in some ways is a lot, and in other ways, not so much, but every dollar you give really is worth $2. So please help us here right in the middle of summer when we could definitely use that $100,000. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can give online. We have a brand new website, and I really like it. It's easy to use. You can go there at newlife.com. And that's my encouragement to you. There's an easy way to give online at newlife.com. You can find out about the new Life Weekend coming up next Friday. Healing is a Choice Weekend. It's going to be a great one. And you can find out about Every Man's Battle there at newlife.com, but also to support this ministry. We will take a break and we'll come back. Go right to the phone calls here on New Life Live today. So glad you've joined us for New Life Live. Stay tuned.
Music.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich, the author of How We Love and How We Love Our Kids, two great books. Dr. Jill Hubbard, the author of The Secrets Women Keep and The Secrets That Young Women Keep. We're going to go to our calls, and we'll go right to Ann. Ann is calling us right around the corner somewhere here in Indianapolis. She listens on WQME. Hello, Ann. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. We're glad that you joined us here. How can we help you today?
Well, I have a burning question that I wanted to ask. Having listened to the show and have done some reading myself, I've currently been going through a separation divorce, and through the process, I've kind of had to refocus on myself. And so my big question that I have is, after all this is said and done, and maybe not being whole in the beginning, how do I know when I'm whole and ready to move on in this stage of my life where I can move into a new relationship and be whole again and after dealing with all this?
Okay. Well, I'll take a shot at this, and then we'll hear from Milan and Jill. But there are three T's that you could look at in your life. One is time. We know that you're not whole very soon after something so tragic as divorce happens. And it sounds like to me you're taking your time. In my situation, I was married before the five-year point, but at 5 years, things really did change. I had heard that number before, and it really is true. It seems to be about the amount of time it takes to heal. The other T is touchiness. You know, are you touchy about your divorce? And it's still a raw wound there, and if it's early on in the process, you probably still are. And then my third T is transformed mind and feelings. Are you no longer blaming? Are you starting to look at whatever contribution you might have made to the separation in the marriage? Are you looking forward versus backwards? Have you forgiven yourself and the other person rather than holding the grudge and keeping you locked into the past? I would give you those three T's as indicators. Milan, Jill, what do you guys think?
Those are great, Steve. I like those a lot. Another thing that I would add, and maybe this is part of being transformed, is are you no longer organized around the event of the divorce?
Very good.
There are still going to be lingering things, because I always think that divorce is a misnomer, especially if you have children, because you have to continue dealing with your ex-spouse. So you have to have some type of relationship. And so from time to time, there are going to be things that that person does that makes you mad, because that's part of why you got divorced, usually, right? So it's not that you never get upset or you don't take a step backwards from time to time, but your life isn't organized around that being the main event of your life. You now are able to incorporate other things, other people, as well as feedback from your friends. How much time with your closest friends do you spend talking about the divorce versus talking about the rest of your life?
Hmm.
So yeah. those would be a couple of things. You know, the idea of being whole, I think we're all, you know, in that perpetual state of growth, you know, so we don't become completely whole, but being whole enough to engage with another person and allow them into your life. And sometimes you have to kind of take a step in that direction and then kind of say, okay, how am I doing? What's coming up for me? And that'll give you some indicators as to what you need to continue to work on.
Mylon, you have any thoughts?
Well, Steve, all your teas were really terrific. I loved them.
Leave it to you to come up with another tea.
Terrific. Hey, Ann, I love your question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know if you're whole? Well, none of us is whole to begin with. None of us. In this lifetime, none of us can be whole. We are broken. I'm broken. The world's broken. Relationships are broken. Nothing works quite right. So my quick answer would be that as you assess your contribution, Steve said this earlier, if you assess your contribution to the breakdown of the marriage, either my part of the dance or even why I picked this person, perhaps if it was a poor choice, any of those, what was my contribution? And you're honest with yourself and you work on that during this season. But then in your next relationship, it will reveal that broken area again. Attachment theory insists and has proven that whatever you felt in your first relationship will probably be brought up again in the next relationship, but hopefully, according to your question, perhaps less of your broken parts will be operative at that point in time. But relationship is where we grow ourselves and we take these weak places and we grow up against our fears, against our anxieties, against our hopelessness, against our rage. And we learned to enter into relationship realizing that the very person I love will provoke those things within me.
You're talking about hopefully you would upgrade when you take the different.
I'm going to upgrade me. I'm not going to necessarily upgrade the partner. I'm going to upgrade me and my capacities. I'm going to be open to my attachment injury as a pleaser, as an avoider, as a vacillator, controller, victim.
But Mylon, I think you bring up a good point in that when we get into relationship, I mean, that's where we really grow. So it's also where we struggle. So
that's where we're exposed.
Right.
Lack of wholeness.
Yes. Yes. So you may feel ready, especially when you're by yourself and then you get into relationship and you go, whoa, I guess I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
That may not necessarily be so. So expect that you're going to be exposed and you're going to have to struggle. And then how do you do that in this new relationship? Do you do it differently, hopefully, than in the last?
All right, and I hope that's helpful to you, Anne. I'm going to send you Mylon and Kay's book, How We Love. I think that will really help you as you trudge forward.
Well, trudge would be a new T word.
Yeah.
As you trudge forward.
You're on a T track.
Yes, we are. All right, well, thank you for calling us, Anne. Let's go to John from Waco, Texas. He listens online. Hey, John, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
Doing okay today.
Good. My question is regarding dating / engagement.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dating a girl for almost a year now, and we kind of got on the topic of marriage recently. And it brought up a question for me, is I'm not sure what's appropriate or not to discuss before actually being engaged, in terms of, you know, us telling each other that we want to be together, that we want to get married, us, you know, she still has another year of school. So it's me discussing, you know, us discussing timing. And, I just don't know what's appropriate before actually being engaged to discuss with her.
Okay.
So I was going to ask you that.
All right. Mylon, you want to start us off?
Well, the question is, how much should I disclose to this person? And you're right to say that as we enter into a relationship, John, it depends upon how much I trust this person, what the safety levels are. And Jesus showed the most of himself to three people, Peter, James, and John. He showed a little less to the rest of the disciples, and he showed a lot less to the masses. So he showed in his life this degrees of revelation and personal disclosure. But if you were thinking of getting engaged, you'd probably want to tell the person you love them.
Right.
You know, you'd probably want to say, you know, I'm really attracted to you, or, you know, have you thought about, and just basically ponder, you know, the question, you know, well, how serious are you about me and how serious am I about you? I actually have a couple that I'm in counseling with right now that I'm doing what we call pre-marital counseling, where they're just trying to assess the initial attraction in my office.
And
so every question should be open. Could you see yourself ever getting married? What would you like to have as what does a family look like in your mind? Would you ever want to have kids? Where would you live? All those kinds of questions.
It seems to me after a year, you would naturally be talking about these things. Is there any reason that you guys don't talk about some of this?
Good question, Steve.
Actually, no. It's more so the opposite in that we have talked about it, and I'm wondering if it was a bad decision to have, you know, told each other, like, I guess we both disclosed that we could see each other being with each other. And we both desire that. And I just wasn't sure if that's appropriate to say before actually getting engaged.
Did it scare you? Did that scare you?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, and I think that's some of the, you're kind of putting your toe in the water and trying that on for size before you actually commit to that and seeing how it feels. So the fact that it feels scary, I think, is normal. I guess I would say that it's good to kind of assess your sense of urgency. Do you feel like a rush to move in that direction, so much so that you're missing today? Because she's got a year left of school, and a lot of times we want to be ahead of where we're at instead of, you know what, you can never go back and do these dating times once you get married. And, you know, you don't want to go back and do those dating times because you want the marriage to survive. So so really, you know, enjoy that. So yes, it's okay to kind of, let's imagine what it might be like. Okay, but we've still got some time ahead of us.
Yeah. And when you do say to each other that you could see yourselves being married and you've been dating a year, you're kind of pre-engaged. It's kind of pre-engagement. And this is the time that you want to reveal the stuff so that you don't get engaged and then later think, okay, well, before I marry her, here's what I need. I need to tell her all this stuff about me. And now you've wasted 2 years of her time and your time. So I say the more open and honest that you can be, and the better that you keep your boundaries, physical boundaries, the better it's going to be for both of you. But I would I wouldn't worry about the fact that you've talked about the truth that's there. And congratulations that you could see yourself married to someone who could actually see themselves married to you, John. That's a big deal in this world.
Thank you.
It's a good thing to know before you venture in that direction.
It sure is. And then, you know, the other thing that I'm kind of an advocate for is that sometimes when you have fears and doubts, sometimes you need to take a break and see what the rest of the world can teach you, and then come back and assess, are you really the ones for each other?
Can I ask John one more question?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, John, is there anything in your history, mm-hmm. in your own family, where relationships suffered or there was pain or there was something frightening at all, or you've witnessed that would cause you to have fears about commitment into the relationship?
Absolutely. My parents have been divorced and got back together twice, and now they're divorced still. That's definitely a real home-hitting thing for me.
Okay, well, now that would be a fabulous thing to tell her, if you haven't already.
Not just that they were divorced, but that causes fear within you, you're saying, Mylon? Is
yes,
that right?
Precisely, Steve. And that would be a fabulous discussion. And to explain the tension that you feel, and I tell people we need to learn to become comfortable tolerating tensions. And the tension is, I'm very attracted to you, I even love you, but I'm scared of the commitment because I've watched my parents go through such a horrible experience. And as a child, it was terrible. And so I'm frightened by, as I get closer to you, I find myself exhilarated and terrified at the same time. How's that, sweetie? Yeah.
and John, yeah. Without knowing you, I can just almost guarantee you that you are much, much wiser than your father when it comes to relationships. You've analyzed and you've rethought and you've considered. Probably he didn't do that, and that led to the divorce scenario and then remarry and divorce. But I just can almost guarantee that because of that, you really do know a lot about relationship. I'm glad you called us, and I'll send you How We Love, Mylon's book. I think you'll love it. It'll help you as you prepare for maybe a long-term relationship. And don't feel bad if at some point you just are not ready. But the worst thing I see is when we take years from a person's life because of indecision or fear. Sometimes we need to let them go if we are incapacitated by our fears. We'll be back right after this.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. We have coming up a New Life weekend. It's called Healing is a Choice. I think Terry has a clip of some people that have actually been there. Let's play that.
He's going to have that ready in just a moment.
Okay.
And, all right. We're going to hold that clip for a few moments.
Okay. So we'll hear that in just a bit. You let me know when it's ready. But we're coming to Philadelphia. And so if you want to find a way to get out of this rut you're in and move to the next level, or maybe you're depressed and desperate, you want to get out of that rut, or maybe your marriage just isn't working, this would be a great place, a great time for you to experience some healing. It's called Healing is a Choice. And I hope you can join us. You can find out about it at newlife.com.
Steve, could I comment on that?
Yeah, please.
The material at Healing is a Choice is that you present, Steve, is really outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
It takes all of us in the audience and puts us into a position of having to ask lots of questions about, do I really want to get unstuck from where I am? Because mm-hmm. it takes a lot of effort. Let me say it takes intentionality to mm-hmm. become unstuck.
Right.
That's true.
And what you help us do at that event on those weekends is learn to ask ourselves and be honest with ourselves, do I want to be intentional? And if so, what are some steps I could take to be intentional?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that you take people from a helpless place where they feel like they're just kind of undone and actually give them a way to move forward.
And I see that weekend as not only being the first steps, but mm-hmm. it also helps guide them towards something they could do when they go home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get into some continued therapy that reinforces these same things. A lot of people come and think, well, this is all I need, just this one weekend. But I think we would all agree it's a progression of change. But this is one of those kickstart places that'll just, in my opinion, knocks your socks off in a good way.
It ignites a fuse that can end up transforming everything in your life. And if you don't ever avail yourself to something like this, maybe that fuse never gets lit. I think you'll be so glad you did it. And if God has been dealing with you, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and it's not too late to do that. Next Friday is, not this coming Friday, but the following Friday is when that Healing is a Choice New Life Weekend starts. Let's go to Greg from Presque Isle, Maine, WFSG. Hello, Greg. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm doing all right today, and glad to be here at WQME doing the program out of Indianapolis. How could we help you, Greg?
Well, I've had, the biggest crisis of my life here. My wife filed for divorce 4 months ago. Now, I'm deeply in love with my wife. I always have been, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to fight for our marriage. However, she refuses to go to counseling, and we're at the point that we're asking the judge for marital counseling, and I'm about to do that in the next coming weeks. Now, my wife filed for divorce because she was, in my opinion, shepherded or transferred by a local assistant pastor of a church that doesn't believe in the Holy Trinidad. Now, I had no idea that my wife was slowly being converting. Her feelings were slowly being converting from me to him.
Mm.
And all this was occurring during her employment.
Now,
the assistant pastor is married, has 3 children. I do not believe that there was any physical relationship with him, but mm-hmm. I do believe my wife committed emotional adultery.
Have you talked with him?
I have, and he was of no help at all whatsoever.
Really?
Really.
What did he say to you when he told you that your wife might have had feelings for him that have led to this divorce?
He didn't. At that point, I didn't know that. And he didn't mention anything like that. He just went back and told her a bunch of lies. And this is just hearing it from other people. Other lies, which made her even more angry, which made her to file the divorce.
Well, that's very sad. I wouldn't hesitate to ask for another meeting with him and clarify some things with him.
Well, perhaps
with
a third party.
I did go with my pastor to see his pastor, the main pastor, and mm-hmm. he was of no help at all as well. In fact, we asked that no retribution come because of the meeting, and I did get retribution because of that.
My goodness.
So,
well, what's the question
no
for
help.
Us then?
Let me give you a little bit of background. The background that I want to point, when my wife left, stuck her in the basement of the church, and they put the main pastor's son, who is a sheriff, part-time sheriff, there to protect her. So I couldn't go and visit my wife. I had to ask my friends to go and visit her and to try to convince her to speak to me. And she didn't. She did say, I will only speak to him if he comes and speaks to my pastor and the wife. And I said, I'd be more than glad to do that. And every time I would call him, he would say, no, 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 no. And I did this 5 times. And that's when I relied on my pastor to go and speak to them.
Okay. So what's the question for us, given all of this?
Okay. The question is this. How can I convince the local district judge, who is known to not issue any marital counseling during divorce proceedings, to order my wife to attend marriage counseling with me? Now, I need to give you a little bit of background about that. I am seeing a spiritual counselor who advises me, because she knows the judge personally, to not speak to the judge nothing about church, spiritual, or anything negative about my wife, just mm-hmm. lovingly about my wife.
Okay.
Now, I know I can do that, but how can I not tell the judge about the main issues that my wife and I have?
Okay.
And there's a lot of emotional issues that my wife has that I haven't brought up yet.
All right, well, I want you to be thinking about expressing or explaining what caused the big separation between the two of you, where she became so easily dependent on another person. And it could be solely that she's unstable. But we'll hear about that when we get back from this break. You're listening to New Life, 1-800-229-3000.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And we're talking with Greg, who is... His wife filed for divorce, and he wants the judge to prescribe counseling, and he's trying to figure out how is the best way to do that. I'm curious about your thoughts, Mylon, and yours, Jill.
Well, and you also were asking Greg before the break about what was the big event that caused this?
Well, in a nutshell, events, really. Greg? My wife's from another country, so English is her second language, even though she speaks English beautifully. She has a lot of anxiety because of the lack of not being able to control her parents' health, economic, and financial situation from afar. So she's always suffered with that, and I noticed that she has extreme emotional incest with her mother, to the point that she would send 40 to 50% of her net pay to her family. Mm. Now, I economically supported my wife in doing that to the point that I even went to get another job as soon as we were married. So I had, on top of my full-time job, I had another three-quarters job, which prevented me from being home a lot to emotionally help my wife. My wife is also used to legalism in her home country. There's a lot of legalism in the church that she came from. And so I believe that that's why she feels safe with this assistant pastor and the church that she's attending now. Also, my wife knew 2 years before we were married that I couldn't have children. And because she was getting of age now and she couldn't make up her mind whether she wanted to adopt a child or to go through some sort of fertilization process, sperm donor, she couldn't make up her mind that I believe she told the assistant pastor all these things. And obviously he said, that's not right, that's not moral, and so on and so forth. This is just my viewpoint. I don't have no knowledge of that. So because...
But, Greg, somewhere along...
Other decisions were made on her behalf as to what was right morally or not.
Okay,
so,
Greg,
somewhere along the line, she no longer felt safe with you.
Correct.
So much so that
and
whether
I'm
it's...
I'm a very aggressive person now. I'm not saying physically. I'm talking about when it comes to doing things, If I see an issue, I go at it full force. It's who I am.
Okay.
In the spiritual counseling, they call it beaver.
Greg.
Beaver lion. Yes.
Right, which, you know, used in the right ways is a very positive quality. The downside is sometimes it can be perceived as controlling.
And, correct,
and
I agree.
And I wonder if, you know, you're saying your wife is used to legalism, so she's kind of used to control, and yet she seems to be running from your control. And what we're hearing from you is you want to get the judge to control her.
Not to control her. I don't want my wife controlled because I've never controlled my wife. That's why she has everything
she has. That sounds too harsh.
She's had it for the past 7 years. What I want is I just want the judge to say, Erica, you really should seek counseling. That's all. You really should seek it.
You know, there's
Greg. She does need it.
Greg?
Yes.
You both need it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I agree, which is why I'm going to counseling.
Greg?
Yes.
What Jill is saying is really important. The day your relationship with your wife will change is when you can say to her, I have made you feel not safe, haven't I? I have been controlling. My aggression can overwhelm you at times. If she is this anxious person that you're talking about, who is fearful and preoccupied with her parents' wherewithal in her home country, and she's scared as an immigrant, And yet you represent two things. You represent a way to be here in the country, and you also represent something that's fearful. So she's drawn toward you, or she feels tied toward you, but she also is feeling overwhelmed by you. Now, is this your first marriage?
No.
Okay. That's important, too. Why do I have a previous marriage? Did I do the same thing in my first marriage that I'm doing here in the second marriage? And especially if I feel as though I've lost my first marriage, I might be pretty panicky and be trying extra hard to control what this lady does. It is surprising to me that the church put her in the basement and put a sheriff next to her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She must be really scared of you in order for that perception, whether you think it's rational or not, for that perception to be there is alarming. Now, I think to answer your question, I would walk into the judge and I would say, would you please push the pause button on this divorce and require us to go to a couple's marriage counseling and give us 6 months? I would like that. As a person that is having these charges filed against me, I would like to have that as a request. And mm-hmm. just make it a simple request. Mm-hmm. This is what I would like. And ask the judge for that.
Okay. Now, I know you may seem that I'm this very aggressive person. I'm not. I've never hurt my wife physically, emotionally, verbally, or any other way at all. This, in my opinion, and I'm going to state it full firmly, that it's this church that's doing this because this isn't the first time it has happened in this county. This isn't going to be the last time. Their issue is monetary.
Okay, hold on just a second. Hold on. Here's what we're saying, and it's a lesson I learned myself. What we're saying is the first time she ever went to that person or that person approached her about, hey, could I have a counseling session with you or she, the fact that you guys were so separated that she didn't discuss that with you allowed this to spin out of control.
No, she first and foremost, she told me about this person a couple of years ago, and I knew, I even went to the church, but I did not feel safe. I have a huge alarm, that discernment, and I can tell you, that is not the church for me.
Yeah.
And I told her that. And we had made an agreement that we were going to search for our church together, because the one that we had got married, she did not like it for some reason. I don't know. All of a sudden, she didn't like it, and I loved it. Okay. I was so happy. I've since gone back. But my whole point is, we were searching, and she stuck because of her employment with this pastor, she stuck there.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that what he did is he started very slowly.
Greg, we're not suggesting, we're not suggesting that your wife doesn't have work to do on herself,
right.
That she could be very anxious, ambivalently
definitely
attached, panicky, all kinds of things
and
going on.
And painting a picture that isn't completely accurate.
Yes, that's right. And we're not saying this church is good, right, or acceptable. We're not saying that you may be right.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying, what can Greg do to help this situation? Because that's the question. You want to stop this from happening, your divorce. So really, the issue is two things again, and I'll close with this. One, I have overwhelmed you. How have I done that? How have I not been safe to you? Is my aggression overwhelming to you? And what is it that would make it easier for you to live with me? Number two, Judge, would you please ask us or require that we go to counseling? Because I think that's fair to push the pause button. And that's all you can do right now. And let the therapist sort out what's going on between the two of you.
Well, and also just to be sure that you have an attorney that's talking to the judge and not yourself. They tend to respect the attorneys more than just a person pleading themselves. At least that's been my experience. I'm glad that you called. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. I think it will help you. And thank you for calling us. 1-800-229-3000. That is the phone number to call. Let's go to Stan from Hazleton, Pennsylvania, WAVA. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm trying to get you off the speaker. Can you hold one second? Wait a minute.
Sure. We love being off the speaker.
I'm here.
Okay.
Let me just say, first of all, I thought you were, my understanding is that you are all Christian counselors.
We are all Christians, and we all, to some degree or another, counsel people.
Are you offering Christian counseling? Because, let me tell you why I say that. And I'm not trying to be belligerent or rude. I love the Lord with all my heart. Jesus is my Savior. Okay, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, my point was, I heard the lady earlier, and you all had to say to her, in your next relationship, that make sure that these things don't happen again. And that, to me, seems wrong. It seems like the counseling that you're giving, and please, I'm trying to be humble here, is to have people go back and commit the same type of disruptions in their life. Listen, like that man that was just on the phone, on the radio there, sorry. My advice, if it would have been me, because I gave my son the same advice just 2 weeks ago. He called me, he was crying, he's 30 years old, he was at wit's end. And it seemed like he was almost suicidal. And I had to yell at him. I had to get stern. He lives in one state. I live in another. And when did you last read your Bible? When did you last pray? And he had admitted that it had been a while. So I told him, you need to give the Lord 30 days. You need to put down your video games and all the other stuff you're doing.
All right, I got to go to a break. You gave him some great advice there. Wonderful advice. We'll be back right after this to hear more.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And Stan has given some great advice to turn off everything for 30 days, give God some time there. But he didn't really like the advice that we had been...
I didn't finish. Right. I'm sorry. Give me. I just wanted to say this. And what I did was I pointed my son to the Proverbs. Proverbs is a wonderful book. Any man that's having a problem in his life, he should read Proverbs. And if he say, oh, I read them, well, then it's time to read them again. Because Proverbs is the Lord himself, God himself, talking to that man,
Now, Stan,
that individual person.
Stan, have you listened to our show very much, or is this the first time?
I think this is the first time I caught it on the radio.
Okay. Well, I think if you'll listen, you'll discover that we are all Christians, and we're conservative Christians, and we really believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in God's Word, and we just feel like that we have to give some practical help here, and it's kind of a given that we think people need to be reading their Bible, going to church, being in a small group. These are things that we talk about all the time. And it's very good advice to tell somebody to unplug all the electronics. Mylon, Jill, your thoughts for Stan?
Well, we do try to respond to the person's question. We only have 5 minutes with somebody on the air.
Yeah,
we didn't stop and ask her,
or less.
We didn't stop and ask her why she was getting a divorce, or whether it was a legitimate divorce. And, you know, we here at New Life always ask people that question. And as you said, Steve, if you listen to the show consistently, you'll hear all the radio co-hosts and hosts ask people, now, what is the situation you're in? And maybe you need to go back into it. So while we believe that the Bible is important and prayer is important, we also believe community is important, because God says we're supposed to bear one of those burdens. We're supposed to support each other, love each other, and not necessarily yell at each other if people are, you know,
well,
are in distress.
And I think
sometimes people need firmness.
Yes, that's true.
But it we're trying to also answer people's questions.
Right, trying to listen and hear where they're at. And I think one of the things that some people have appreciated about our show is that we don't just give the pat Christian answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can come from a Christian perspective without, you know, always making it sound like a Christian cliche.
Right.
And so I think all of us come from that Christian perspective. So whether we're giving advice about reading the Bible or taking some steps, we have that in mind. That is our orientation.
Yeah. Well, and right before we came back to Stan, you heard Max Lucado quoting one of the foundational verses for our ministry, which is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the translation that I like best says to be transformed by changing the way that you think. And, you know, Henry and John and I were on with Josh McDowell on TBN's Praise the Lord program just the other night. And we were talking about, Paul Crouch Jr. was asking the question, you know, why is it that a person can get into a car accident, and if they're physically hurt, they'll take them to the hospital and nobody questions that. But if there is emotional trauma, they just expect them to get over it. And people in the church expect mm-hmm. them to not have the problem. Or if they do have a problem, it's an indicator of another problem. And we were talking about how we need to change the way we think about these things and other people. And what we're trying to do is to get people to see things from a different perspective based on truth. We don't read a verse to every person. Some people believe that that is the only form of Christian counseling that is good. But we are, as Mylon said, we're trying to do the most we can in the limited amount of time that we have. But also, you know, we founded this ministry on three things: transformation, connection with other people, as it says in James 5:16, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other that you might be healed. And then finally, the number one thing that we're founded on is truth. And it's true truth. It's not shaming truth, using the Bible to shame someone, or it's not manipulative truth. We've heard of an example of someone manipulating another person here. We want to provide God's truth from the perspective that it is intended to come from, and to present the realities that it's intended to address. That's what we try to do here. And I hope that we get to do it for a very, very long time. I'll just mention briefly that we have signed up approximately 536 people as of today in Club New Life this year. And our goal is to sign up 1,000 people. And so we're kind of close to being on track for that. And I want to urge you to sign up if God has been dealing with you at all in that area. Let me read this to you. It says to Becky Brown, this person writes, "Thanks for your warm welcome. I'm so glad to be a Club New Life member. I've been listening to the program for many years and have grown spiritually and relationally more than I can say. The Lord has been speaking to me for quite some time now about being a New Life member, but the enemy has been doing his work of procrastination and fear in me also, so I have put it off. Last week when I picked up the phone and made the call, I can't tell you what a precious relief it was to surrender to this prompting. Holding off for so long has cost me so much joy, but I now have been able to cry those tears of joy and look forward to a future which will include helping others to heal and grow as I have." Well, you know, if you're like her, maybe today I read that letter and God wanted you to hear it, and he's calling you to help us. And if he is, please respond. And it's just about $30 a month to join Club New Life. And then, you know, we've got a matching gift sitting there waiting for us to collect enough money to get it. And if you could help us with a one-time gift, if you've never given before, I'm just asking you to call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, "Okay, I'll do it this one time," and just see how it feels. Maybe it feels like this lady who wrote in. But please give us a try and give God a try and help us to get this matching $100,000. It would really be helpful. If you're on, we're going to be in the studios doing two more shows. You hold on, we'll get to you. But I want to read something to you from a guy named Robert McCracken. He said this. He said, "A man can be as truly a saint in a factory as in a monastery, and there is as much need for him in the one as in the other." And in Philippians 1:13-14, we see that Paul was so influential where he was. He was in a jail, not a monastery, that the prison guards, and these were the palace guards that guarded him, converted to Christianity because they saw the way he lived and the truth that he spoke. And so there in the palace were these Christians that were guarding and probably praying, and the Pharaoh probably had no idea what was going on. So why he was being guided certain ways to make certain decisions. We need to be out there in the world, in the factory, wherever we work, being the church to other people. Maybe you've never thought about it, but maybe if you organize some folks at your workplace, maybe you could become a little church there that reaches out to others, helps meet the needs of other people that are struggling, be the one that calls people if they're let go or if they terminate, whatever it is. You could be that in the workplace, and people would see that, and it would be the biggest, loudest sermon ever. Well, I really appreciate you joining me here on New Life Live. Thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Dr. Jill. If you want to join us for another program today, 1-800-229-3000. We love you. See you. Check out the new website at newlife.com. It's really a good one. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.